presence of each one here this evening, and pray that the Lord will bless us with more understanding and more faith in Him and more love for one another and more love for Him. We're dealing tonight with Romans, the 12th chapter. If we get far enough, it'll be 1 through 5 or 6, and at least we'll start off with verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, the Lord here gives specific directions on being transformed. So let's look at this word transformed. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, there's our word, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we've emphasized the renewing of the mind before, and tonight I'd like to emphasize being transformed. Notice in verse 1 here, it deals with the outer man, and verse 2 deals with the inner man. So this word transformed here is from 33:26. It means to transform, and it's just put in another form. So we'll have to go to Scripture to find the actual way it is used. Matthew 17, verse 2, is this word is used there, and it's very clear what this is referring to. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mount apart, and was transfigured before them, same word. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as light. Well, obviously, that's dealing with the outer man. And so that was the change that they saw, somewhat like what happened to Moses, except possibly more glorious, but not lasting as long. We see the same word in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, in a different light. All of God's children that are faithful are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, notice that, not some, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, there's your word transformed here, into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are transformed, that is, changed, or we have a different form, into the same image. Obviously, this is not talking about the outer man. This is talking about the inner man. And he says we're going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that word is a po there. It is literally from the Spirit of the Lord. So this word here, image, is likeness. In other words, we're being transformed into the same likeness. 1 John 2, 3 to 5. 1 John 2, 3 to 5. And hereby do we know that we know him. So here's your knowledge. If we keep his commandments. He saith, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. So if the love of God is being perfected in these faithful brethren who keep his word, are they being transformed? And of course he says the love of God is perfected, so if nothing else, the love is being transformed. So if God's love is perfected in us, how many parts does God's love have? In Matthew 28:19-20, emphasize now concerning commandments. How many commandments of the New Testament are we obligated to keep? He says, go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So as we get these commandments in the New Testament, are they part of these commandments that we are to be taught to observe? And of course, we are. And he says, if we do that, then lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What if we don't keep his commandments? Shall we keep the new covenant? And remember, this is a covenant. And a covenant has different parts, and both sides need to keep their part of the covenant, or the covenant is not valid. In Hebrews the 8th chapter, verses 8 and 9. What did the Lord do with Israel when they did not keep all of his covenant? For finding fault with them, verse 8, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So in Jesus' time, Israel had kept many of the commandments that God had given them. They also kept their tradition. They also broke some of God's commandments because of their tradition. But nevertheless, they did keep many of the commands of the Old Testament, especially concerning the temple and the feast and the Sabbath day and so on. So they kept many parts of the commandment. Then why did God not continue with them? He said, they did not continue in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So how much of that old covenant did the Lord expect the Israelites to keep? And it's obvious he expected them to keep the entire covenant. So if we're being taught to observe all things that Jesus commanded the apostles, how many commandments in the New Testament are we required to keep? Of course, if we have love for the Lord, we want to keep them. But if we don't, how many are we required to keep? We hear five steps and five acts to keep us in the church and faithful and forgiven. Does that sound like a covenant? In Matthew 23, verse 23, Israel even gave 10%. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men, anise, and cumin, the smallest seeds, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So they were looking at the outward commandments, and they were keeping some of the outward commandments. Fact is, as I read it, they're keeping many of the outward commandments. Question, how many of the inward commandments were they keeping of the law? And Jesus testified, you have omitted, neglected the weightier matters of the law, the heavier. What were they? Judgment, mercy, and faith. So when we're talking about obeying the commandments of God, are we talking about the outer man or the inner man or both? There are very few New Testament commands that are outward. There are some, but major part are inward. Are we careful to keep the commandments of God? Do we feel obligated to keep the commandments of God concerning the inner man? Matthew 23, 25 to 26. Israel was blind to the spiritual heart. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, what's he blind to? Cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them, that the outside of them may be clean also. So what were they blind to? They were blind to the inner man. Verse 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. As we look around at Christians who call themselves Christians, Do we find the inner man being formed, or do we judge by the outer man? How do they judge? They need to do the same works that Jesus did. Remember that book of the 1800s? They wanted to walk in Jesus' steps. So before everything, they decided what would Jesus do, not would he be, but what would they do, what would Jesus do? And then they did the same thing on the outer man. And then when it was all finished, they all went back to the same that they were before. Why? Because their inner man was not changed at all. So when we're talking about obeying the commandments of God, are we judging by the outward commandments or the inward commandments? Well, let's look at some of these inward commandments. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Did Paul know how to form the inner man? If he were obeying the commandments of the Lord, he says it's renewed day by day. How do you renew something? Well, if it's already there and it's faded or whatever happens to it, you can make it new again. This could refer to what he says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this may refer to his mind, renewed every day. And what is renewing? Making a determination, I'm going to find and obey all the commands of God. I'm going to find and follow Jesus on the inner man in every way. And so we need to renew our mind in that way. So what about God's children? If we're like Paul and following Paul, then we are following these commandments day by day. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, we can see what we need to be like if we can see Jesus' inner man. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if we can see the face of Jesus Christ, then we can see the light of the knowledge of God's glory, because Jesus was in the same image as the Father. John, the 14th chapter, verses 8 and 9, the Lord has a special scripture here to describe our need to think on the inner man, not the outer. John 14, verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What was he looking for? No doubt the same thing that Moses saw, the outer man. And so Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and you have not seen me? You have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? So what had Philip been seeing? He had been seeing Jesus' compassion, his kindness, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his purity, his holiness. He was seeing many things on the inner man. But he was looking for what? He was looking for something on the outer man. And so Jesus rebuked him. So what should we see of the face of Jesus? We need not to see the physical face. We need to see the spiritual face, which is what is in his heart. In Colossians 1:15, the Father is spirit. Jesus is in the image of the invisible God. He's spirit, the firstborn of every creature. So he's in the image of the invisible God. So what parts of Jesus were in the image of the invisible God? They had to be invisible parts, spiritual parts, part of the heart. Hebrews 1 verse 3, he makes it very clear how much Jesus was in the image of the Father, if we can see Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, Hebrews 1 3, and the express image of his person. That image there, express image, 5481, that's our word character. That should be very meaningful to us, shouldn't it? If we're seeing Jesus' character, what are we seeing? We're seeing the different parts of his inner man. When I look at you and think of your character, what do I see? Do I see the outer man or the inner man? By definition, I only see the inner man. I don't see the outer man. And so we need to look at one another's character, but we also need to look at Jesus' character, his spiritual man, the heart of Jesus, what's in that heart. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, again, he makes it clear that God's faithful children are all being changed into that same image. But we all, notice, all of us, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So all of God's faithful children are being changed into that same image, the character of the Father. So the Lord gives specific directions on being transformed, and he tells us, by the renewing of your mind. But what does Jesus describe as being not being conformed to this world? And that's the Romans 12, verse 2 again. Be not conformed to this world. And why not? Because if we're conformed to this world, it'll be the heart of the people of this world. And we don't want to be conformed into the heart of this world. So how do we judge this world? We generally judge only by the outer man. Well, that's how everybody judges. But how does God judge? God judges by the inner man. So as we see different people doing different things, he says, by their fruits, you'll know them. We can look at the fruit, the works that they give, and discern somewhat of what's inside. And we need to try and discern what is inside and not just what is outside. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 31 to 33, he gives us one way not to be conformed to this world. Matthew 6, 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And that word thought there is not just thinking about it. Obviously, if you're going to cook something, you've got to think about what you're going to cook. But this word here has the idea of being anxious, being concerned. We should be concerned each day. We get the right kind of food, and that should be the end of it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he says, don't be anxious. Don't take thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So if we're not going to be conformed to the world, what do we not do? We're not going to be concerned with food and drink and clothing. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God makes that promise, which helps us to be conformed to the image of the Lord. And the promises make us partakers of the divine nature. So we don't need to be concerned about food and clothing, even if the inflation starts to rise and we start getting concerned, how am I going to get food and so on. He says, don't be concerned with all these things. The Lord's going to make sure that we have food and clothing. So that's how not to be conformed to the world. Is the world concerned? What's one of the big words in the news these days? Inflation. And somebody just a few days ago says, I don't like Trump. And then he said, but you know, my food prices are going down. Well, how do they think? They think money. They think, how can I get these material things? First Peter 4, verse 2, we should also not be conformed to this world in this way also. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. All right, which desires are these? Is this the lust of men? Do men desire the heart of Christ? Do they desire God's love in their hearts? Do they desire humility and kindness and so on? And of course, they don't. They're generally desiring these outer things, material things that make them feel good. But we need to be concerned with the will of God in verse 2. So, for the time past of his life may suffice of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, what they seek after. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now he's writing babies here. And these babies are not walking like they used to walk. So they're walking now more like what Jesus walked. And he says, the will of the Gentiles is lasciviousness. What is that? That comes from the word license. And license says, I can do what I want to do, whatever that license gives me permission to do. And license for the world is what? This is my life. This is my possessions. These are my things. I will do what I want to. Do they have a license? Where'd they get it from? They have a license, but they made it up themselves, and they got it from the devil. So in 2 Peter 1, verses 8 through 11, in contrast to walking like the world, he describes all these things that we're to add. And then verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is walking like the world, is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So what's the solution? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That word fall there is stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if these things be in you and abound, add to your faith virtue, that needs to abound. Virtue, knowledge, that needs to abound. But these are commandments, aren't they? Add to your faith. Sounds like command to me. What's it sound like to you? Then add temperance. What is that? Self-control. Add temperance to temperance. You add patience. That's enduring in order to obey the commands of God. Then add to that godliness. What is that? That's highly reverencing God and his love. And then add to that brotherly love. Well, how can you add brotherly love to godliness? Well, godliness, we reverence these things. And then brotherly love, we use those things that we reference to serve the brethren and to help the brethren. And then add to that this agape, which is what we use for the rest of the world. And quite often we use that for each other. But we have to know these things, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, in order to use them for our brethren first, and then also for the world. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, Peter did not understand about salvation. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. So what was important to Peter? Well, does the religious world think about these things we're talking about now? Well, let's get even more personal. Do we think about these things that we're talking about now? And are we consciously seeking to add these things every day? If we're faithful children of God, guess what we're doing? We're turning more away from the way the world lives and more to the way that Jesus lives. In John the 8th chapter, verse 23, we see Jesus' mind here. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So where's Jesus' mind here? I'm not like these Gentiles. I've come out and I'm separate from them, and I'm not living according to the outer man. I'm living according to the inner man. You are from beneath, that's the earth. I'm from above, spiritual things. You are of this world, physical things. I am not of this world. Jesus did not love the world nor the things of this world. That's the way we need to be, and we need to grow that way. Not to love the world like we do today. and love the world less and less as time goes on, and then love God and His ways more and more. But we have to put some effort to it, don't we? Or does it happen automatically? No, this doesn't happen automatically. We've got to put effort toward it. And if I don't put effort toward something specifically, what do I accomplish? You know, we all know. So we need to add to our faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and then use those for the brethren and for the world. John the 15th chapter, Jesus was so different from the world that men hated him. He says, if the world hate you, John 15, 7, 18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So had they come out of the world? Were they living like the Gentiles live? Were they living like everybody else? And the answer is no. They were living by the spiritual things of the heart. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and that's chasing someone to do them damage, they will also persecute you. Why? Well, because we are not like them. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So faithful men, whether I speak the word of God or Jesus speaks the word of God, faithful men are going to accept this and follow it and keep it. And John 17, verses 14 to 17, what happened as soon as the apostles decided to be different from the world? So as we grow in these things, this is what we need to expect and trust the Lord. John 17, 14, I have given them thy word. Jesus praying to the Father and saying, I've given them thy word. So he's given God's word that he heard from God. And the world hated them. Why? Because they were following the word of God. Because they are not of the world. How do you be not of the world? We don't walk with the world. We don't walk like the world. Even as I am not of the world. He was serving the Father and not living according to the vanities of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then he goes on in verse 19 to say, he sanctifies himself, so they'll sanctify themselves. So Jesus was setting himself fully apart for the Father. If we follow Jesus on the inner man, and we add to our faith virtue and knowledge, and we are very careful to pointedly do these things every day, we will be growing. And the Father will be pleased with us, and he will bless us, and we will be hated by the world. But we need to pay that price. Tonight, if there are any not member of the Lord's body that would like to obey the gospel and be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism after they crucify the old man, we would encourage you to do that, to be buried with him for the remission of your sins. And if you're needing the prayers of the church, we would ask you to come and let your desire be made known while we stand and sing.